You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's weekend encounter at Alfreton Town from Saturday afternoon.
Hi there, Billy McCartney, a former player, and always listen to FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in Sunday's Argyle Cup semi-final against CMB Ladies. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some good news as FC United on Tuesday night secured their place in the National League North for next season by defeating York City by 1-0.
As Scott Kay brings it forward nicely from Kieran Glynn. Now Scott Kay, space in front of him, square ball, Irwin. Can FC find the killer pass there? Irwin puts on his left foot, frames it through, beautiful! Scott Kay, surely! And this time, it's got to be Sheriff McCarthy, and it's a goal! And FC United have finally found their cutting edge here. It was nice work from Kay. Started off some beautiful play from Kieran Glynn.
It did.
Then it was Kay. Then it was pass through to Kay. And it was McCarthy who was on the spot to tap it in the end. Oak City undone.
But to be honest, I mean, Kay made a great run straight through the middle with the ball. And he sent the goalkeeper the wrong way, and I was expecting him to pass the ball into an open net, and he knocked the ball to his left, which looked like it was going to go out of play, and McCarthy dragged it back with his left and slammed it in with his right. And to be honest, he deserves it because he's worked hard tonight and he's had a decent game. He's worked hard, he's stuck his body in there, and he's got his reward with a goal.
FC Live there from Tuesday evening, and the news got better on Wednesday for FC United as the club's women's team continued their efforts in trying to secure a historic treble by defeating Stockport County in the league by 4-0. Elsewhere, and the club announced on Saturday that due to financial constraints surrounding the playing budget, FC United released non-contracted players Craig Linfield and Steve Irwin. We'll have more on this news on this week's This Club Is My Club. And finally, a big congratulations to board member George Baker, who on Sunday completed the London Marathon in a time of 6 hours 31 minutes 54 seconds, all in aid of FC United's development fund. In a public house sometime after he crossed the line, George spoke with Matt Haley.
You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. I'm Matthew Haley. I'm here with board member George Baker, who has just run the London Marathon for FC United's development fund in 6 hours, 31 minutes and 54 seconds, and raised over £2,500 in the process. George, how are you feeling right now?
Well, it's difficult to say, Matt. There's a lot of... It's a lot of feelings right now, physical and mental. I mean, I'm over the moon, to be honest. And my target was under 6 hours, but given I've not been running for even 4 months, just to get to the end and get a time, get a medal, I'm really, really happy. So my legs can barely... I feel like sacks of gravel, to be honest. But I'm sure they'll heal over the next week or so. And I'm just very happy that it's done. And it's unbelievable the amount managed to raise, so I'm feeling pretty good right now.
And you deserve to feel pretty good, mate. Well done, congratulations. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, you agreed to run the marathon having never previously been a runner. You agreed to do it on a coach back from Spennymoor away, You were slightly tipsy, I believe. Yeah. Why did you decide to do it? Why did you agree to run the London Marathon?
To be honest, I'd put on a bit too much weight. And we all do New Year's resolutions, don't we? And spending my way was, late December. So I just remember thinking, actually, in my tipsy wisdom, I thought, actually, this might be a good idea, because not only does it give me a new start in the new year, but it's something that I'm going to have to commit to, because it's in late April. You know, a lot of New Year's resolutions just fall out the water in the first few weeks. We're all guilty of that. So I thought, well, this gives me a target. This will allow me to lose a lot of weight, improve my fitness. I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to be good at running, like, to the point where, well, I say good, I've always wanted to be able to go for a 3-4 mile run without wanting to kill myself. So I thought this is a good opportunity to gain some fitness and, of course, raise some money for the club.
You know, running the London Marathon, any marathon, is an amazing achievement, even for regular runners. But for someone who has never run before, to do it within 4 months of training, there are obviously lots of people who, in all honesty, expected you to fail, probably run a few miles and then drop out. Did you always believe that you could do the full 26.2 miles?
Yeah, undoubtedly, because, I mean, yeah, depressingly high amount of people thought I would literally keel over doing this. But there was no doubt that as long as I stick to a certain training plan, and I can always, you know, if I hit a wall at a certain rate, it was about 16 miles for me when my thighs just basically gave up. And I was just thinking, well, don't give up. If you have to, just walk it. I mean, the last 10 miles, I must have only run 2 or 3 of them, if I'm being honest. Hence the 6-hour 31 time. But and there was no doubt I'd make it. You know, I've always been confident that 26.5 miles, it's a long, long way, don't get me wrong, but it's if you do a mixture of walking and running, you can definitely do it. So I'm very pleased that I've proved a few people wrong.
Did you get taken over by by any elderly women or rhinos or, you know, people dressed as giraffes, anything like that?
Yeah, I must have told you earlier, because you said the word rhino there. There was a rhino that kept overtaking me the whole way, and a gorilla as well. Big bloke dressed as a gorilla kept overtaking me. A guy with a bike on his back as well kept overtaking. I'm not sure I ended up beating him, but I absolutely pegged it the last 2 kilometres, because I remember thinking, there's no way I'm letting a gorilla and a rhino beat me. It's too cliched. And so I absolutely hammered it the last 2 kilometres down the mall and past the palace, and managed to finish ahead of them. What happened to the guy with the bike on his back, I'm not too sure.
Well, you know, it's all about personal best, isn't it? And even if you do get overtaken by a rhino and people with various things on their backs, you've still made it round, and you're here to tell the tale. You survived. You're not in the back of an ambulance, which is a relief to lots of people, I think, really. Now, you've raised over £2,500. Hopefully the donations will keep coming in. People can donate by going to your Just Giving page, and also via the FC United website and Twitter feed. And also, this is one of the biggest single fundraising efforts by an individual for quite a long time at FC United. And you've set a benchmark, I think. Why is it important to raise money for FC United? Why did you decide to do it?
Well, we all, anyone who's listening to FCRM Radio probably already knows how important it is to raise money for the club. I mean, the DF committee have gone through a bit of a resurgence in the last couple of weeks. You know, they've had a meeting Saturday, which was very positive. And some great people on board now. And I'm very positive for the future fundraising efforts that the club and the volunteers involved will do. So, you know, obviously it's absolutely paramount that we really hit it this season, given what we owe as a club to various people. So I really encourage anyone to get out there and do, even if it's a 10k, if it's a half marathon. You know, I'm talking just in the field that has happened today, like running. There's loads of ways we can raise money for the club and for the development funds, and they'll all be coming out quite soon. And anyone who wants to get involved,
get in touch either with Nathan on the board, Des Gallagher, or Josh Dyson, for example, on the DF committee. Just get in touch with them. Yeah, and if you want to donate to my Just Giving feed, still, it's still open, and it's really been pushing it on the Twitter today. Many thanks to Andy Raithley, by the way, who's been giving up his whole Sunday to do it, and he's managed to raise quite a bit. We were just below 2,000 before the end of the day. Now we're over 2,500. So it just goes to show, if you push something, if you publish it right, we can certainly raise a hell of a lot of money for FC.
So if we've got any willing volunteers out there who'd like to run the London Marathon in 2019 for the Development Fund, please do get in touch with FCUM Radio or the club office. George, any final thoughts that you'd like to offer up?
Well, just thanks to everyone who sponsored me. I'm having my first pint in about 3 or 4 weeks, and I only had about one or two the last time, so I'm really keen to have that actually. And I think that'll be my last word on the subject. But yeah, let's get out there and raise. Think of anything that you can do to raise money for the club. All I did was run a bit today, and it was done in an afternoon, and FC United 2.5k richer. So anything you can think of, get in touch with the club, the DF committee, and we'll get there.
Very wise words, George Baker. Congratulations, well done, an amazing achievement, and all for the good of FC United of Manchester.
And you can still donate to George's Just Giving page by visiting justgiving.com/crowdfunding/George-Baker-FCUM. You're listening to This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM radio. Later in the show, we'll be hearing how the women's team got on in their Argyle Cup semi-final match with CMB Ladies at Broadhurst Park from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's to Derbyshire that we head to now, as on Saturday, FC United travelled south to take on Alfreton Town. To hear how FC got on, it's over to our FC Live team now for all the action.
Welcome everyone to the Impact Arena. So we're missing two players this afternoon who have been released by the club. We've got an It'll Be Off which is available on Facebook, which you can all entertain yourself with now. Irwin and Craig Linfield have left the club, non-contracted players. The decision's been made to relieve the playing budget with a week to go in the season. We've discussed it at length on It'll Be Off.
We have indeed.
It's a difficult situation. You can understand the financials, but it's also very sad that, you know, we've lost two great players who've added something this season, especially in the last few weeks of the season.
Well, they've been integral for the latter part of the season, don't get me wrong, and it is going to be a loss, and it is a miss. However, those players have chosen, not because they had much option really, I suppose, although there was one option, and that option was to stay and play to the end of the season for free, as Racky and Tatum and Gilchrist have done, but they've chosen their path, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you know, everyone's got to choose their own path. I think Steve Irwin, as we've said, has been absolutely magnificent in the season, just going off the boil a little bit. But the one thing, even going off the boil, Steve Irwin off the boil, is still
good hard working
player. He's all over the pitch. He'll be snapped up, guarantee you that. I know, you know, for me, he'll be playing in Conference or Conference North football next season for a good team, and be all the better for it. And the likes of Linney, well, he brought a lot of experience. It's his second spell at FC United of Manchester, and you know, vital goals at vital times, and he worked really, really hard. And again, they both will be missed, and if they are listening this afternoon, then we wish them all the very, very best. I think Linney would have admitted himself, possibly his last season at FC United, in regards to, you know, playing week in, week out. For the likes of Irwin, I thought he could have been a player that you could have not necessarily moulded a team round, but that engine, that quality and tenacity, and the also experience of Linfield, maybe in a coaching capacity or role, and then occasionally playing. But they're both gone. And we have to wish them all the very, very best. Also on that list, we don't know whether they're officially gone or not, do we?
No, we don't. But we'll have more news on that as the week goes on.
I was about to say, we will keep people abreast of things that are going on. And if you want any further information,
get on the members forum.
That's where you need to look. That's where you need to get all your information from, and then make a concerted judgment on the way this football club is going and being run.
Now, also not with us this afternoon, Scott Kay. He went off with an injury on Tuesday, which he's still got with regards to his hamstring. And Conor McCarthy has a bug, which he's not been able to shift over the last 24 hours. So those two are missing. So what we've got is a very... And obviously Hughes is still suspended. So what we've got is a lineup which is... Well, let's just say it's nice that we have got safety this season, because this is a very experimental lineup, isn't it?
Well, every player that's playing this afternoon has played for FC this season. It's a team, really, on paper. You're thinking it's not a bad team at all. They haven't had a great deal of togetherness, as in playing all together. But at the same token, I think there's an opportunity here in a game that FC can go and express themselves and work hard. Can show that what the quality of youth has on offer, with a little bit of experience in there as well.
So it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team as the teams come out of the tunnel here at the Impact Arena. It's Alverton against FC United of Manchester. It's ConstructedCoding.com and the Armchair Army. And here is Stato Paul and Swamper.
Or indeed, a throw into the home team, taken quickly. There's a foul throw. Referee, let's play continue though. And here comes the number 8. Can he get a shot away? Been given loads of time. Oh, what a finish. What a goal. Absolutely Tom wonderful Platt. There from Tom Platt. It came from the throw. It came out of nothing. But Platt was given and afforded a little bit of room and time. And he really absolutely got hold of that. And nothing the goalkeeper could do. Into the top left-hand corner. What a finish. What a goal.
Managed to find the postage stamp that Allington couldn't get his hand to. Terrific strike from distance.
Oh, it was indeed, wasn't it?
You don't get many of those in this season.
I mean, it did start from a real foul throw here. I mean, it was a very obvious foul throw, but no one picked him up. And that was a great, great finish from the number 8. And that indeed is the end of this afternoon's game. And, relief for the Alverton Town players and supporters alike. Not the greatest of games, but a game where FC United have gone out, worked hard, tried new things, and it's been a game where both teams will they'll be happy to a degree with the performance of the young players and the way they've worked and they've set the stall out. And Alverton are going to be very happy, because obviously they've got that survival now in the bag, and they're looking forward to playing FC United home and away next season. And as I say, a game really where Alverton have been the better two teams this afternoon. They've had more shots on target. Allison's had to work two or three very good saves, and the endeavour from FC United this afternoon was there. A bit of quality. Nice to see Elliot Simo's come on, and he's done well. Great work from FC United Manchester's number 6 again, Sam Baird, showing quality.
Sam Baird definitely man of the match for us, I think.
He's done well. Kieran Glynn, when he had the chance, doing very well, but equally not enough of the ball really for FC United this afternoon. They've worked hard, but they've been beaten on the day by a slightly better team, a team that it was more important for them than it was for FC United and Manchester. They've had to work and work at it. And I mean, at 1-0 you're expecting something from FC United, but it didn't quite come off, did it, for them?
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that Alfredson had to win, really, and it's a game that we didn't have to win, and maybe that made the difference.
No, of course, in while 90 minutes of football has been played, obviously there's going to be a lot of talk about the financial side of things at FC United Manchester, the players that have decided to leave the football club, those that are on contract, and a whole host of other things as well. But for the next couple of minutes we'll be talking all things football, and then we might dissect and get into it in regards to what the future holds for some of these players, what it holds for FC United and Manchester. Cup final on Tuesday, and we'll be reflecting on all of that, plus a whole lot more after this small commercial break. Oh, we can't do that, can we, Ben? Because you're holding up the blooming camera again, so it means we have to just continue to talk, rightly or wrongly, whether you need the toilet or not. But we're also going to be here for the players, the supporters' player of the year, which will be announced after the game for the home team, as this is their last home game of the season. Paul, yes. Your overall thoughts?
I don't think FC, to be honest, deserved anything out of the game. The home side created more chances. We had more possession in the game, but we didn't do a hell of a lot with it, to be honest. We had some good individual performances, but as a team we didn't really click collectively as an 11, which isn't surprising really, because as you mentioned, one or two of the players are a bit ring rusty.
We'll get a picture on Sam there, because that's Sam's last away game for FC United. Sam, our physio, who's retiring from his physio duties at FC United next week. It'll be his last game. He's still going to be coming to watch FC. He's going to take part in the frivolities and fun in the SMRE, he said. So we wish him all the very best.
Not the main stand?
No, SMRE. His words, SMRE, for Sam. So I think Ben and Paul, I think you summed it up quite rightly. A team who you can see the makings of a good team in there. You can see the qualities of individual players, and you can see the potential in a lot of the youngsters. And for that reason, I think you know, we're going to be in safe hands next season under Tom's stewardship if he's given that position, and I'm hoping he is. The game finishes, as we say, and the rain ceases, and the sun is about to come back out. And well, Salford, they've won this afternoon, haven't they?
They've got beat this afternoon. But I'm just waiting to see the live standings. I think we're now safe in saying that Tamworth and Gainsborough have both joined North Ferriba and will be getting relegated. So we wish all three of them well for next season. We have got North Ferriba next week, of course, at Broadhurst Park. I'm just checking to see what's happened with Harrogate. Yeah, it's finished. Bradford Park Avenue 3, Harrogate 1, and Salford got beat this afternoon against Boston 2-1. So therefore, it's looking like we should send congratulations to Salford on winning the league.
Well, if that's the case, congratulations to Bernard and Jono and everyone at Salford City. They've got a plan. That plan of action seems to be working quite well. And if they're playing National League football next season, then it's going to be well done to them, as we've got the Alfreton supporters below us. I think they're waiting to celebrate with the players, and the players' player of the year about to be announced, or surely be announced, I'm not quite sure. We've got lots of people going past, and as I say, a deserved win this afternoon for them, Paul, really.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can begrudge them. We didn't have great expectations, to be honest, this afternoon, I think you could say.
No, I mean, to be honest, when we didn't know what the team was going to be, I don't think Tom really had an idea of, to a degree, what his team was going to be this afternoon. But I think they've gone out and they've acquitted themselves well. The work rate's there, the endeavour's there. There's a little bit of quality there as well. And also there's, you know, a lot of optimism, a lot of room to move forward as a football club next season.
Samoas was superb, wasn't it?
Do you reckon he's earned a place for definitely for the North Ferriby game to start?
Well, I would say the cup final on Tuesday.
If McCarthy's not ill, then he's back, and equally Kay is not, his injury's okay, then I think they'll be back in the team perhaps. But he'll be on the bench, if certainly, and I think his performance this afternoon warranted maybe, you know, a start on Tuesday. But equally, you know, he's come in from, you know, the youth team, hasn't he, primarily, and he's done very, very well. He might be a little bit lightweight, but he chases balls, he charges things down, and you know, he's been excellent. I've been very impressed with him in the period of time that we've seen him. And we're back live, so we've just had all the players' player of the year and so on and so forth, so we didn't want to really get involved in that, but we are now lucky enough to join Tom Greaves. Tom, thanks for joining us. In a 24 to 48 hours, it's probably been a bit of a whirlwind for you with the things that have been going on off the pitch, which obviously for you as a manager have a massive impact on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about them too much this afternoon. I don't think it's fair to do so and put you under the spotlight, but it's fair to say it's been very, very difficult for you to get a team out this afternoon and get the players all G'd up perhaps for a game here which was very important for one team and indeed for yourself and for your pride and the pride of the players.
Yeah, definitely. We wanted to come here and and cause an upset and win the game. We probably were second best all over today. I think we had a spell of probably 10 or 15 minutes in the second half where we looked brave on the ball. We got on the ball and we passed it well. We got out wide and we got balls into the box. Apart from that, it was pretty flat today, but we've had a difficult 48 hours as a dressing room, as a club. It's not been nice to be involved in. And we've just got to try and look forward to Tuesday night now and get the lads rallied up.
And of course, you know, you're in that situation, you're there training, you're working hard, you know, we get the great results on Tuesday to keep us up and secure the situation in the club. I know there's been talk and people that are members would have known that there was going to be a stage where we might have had to make some difficult decisions, and I suppose it's particularly difficult right at the end of the season when you've got players that have done well for you and that decision's been made. We've talked quite a lot this afternoon before the game about the qualities of the likes of Steve Irwin, the qualities of Linfield and what they brought to the club. We've urged supporters to go on to the official message board and have a look at the financials and look at only the reasons surrounding that decision. We're not going to discuss it with you today because it's unfair to do so, because you've had to get a team out there this afternoon. But you've got to be even though we were beaten on the day, I think you've got to be pleasantly surprised with a number of performances out there from a very, very young, very inexperienced, and in a lot of cases players that haven't played for quite some time, even though they've gone out on loan and have not really been played. So there's got to be a lot of positives that you've seen out there this afternoon, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the likes of Elliott's come on and he's caused them troubles. It looks lively. It looks like he'll have a good career at FC, so happy days with that. Like you say, Jonesy and Terrell not played much over the last 4 to 6 weeks, so it's good to get them minutes. Steve Affleck's come on. He's been one that's shone in training for a long time, so it's good to get these lads minutes on the pitch. But like you said, we are going to miss the likes of Linny and Stevie. Obviously, Scott were missing today as well, and Connor as well. They're big characters in the dressing room. Not just out on the pitch, but in the dressing room as well. And it's fair to say the lads felt a little bit deflated from the goings on Thursday night. We probably could have dealt with the situation a little better and gone down different options. If I'm being honest, a lot of the lads were willing to drop wages so that we could afford to finish the season together, which is what would have been fantastic for us as a group of lads. Unfortunately, the damage was done to Linny and to Stevie, so they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to take money off the lads, and fair play to them. They've made the choice today, and unfortunately for me going forward, I won't be able to have that chat with them about bringing them back next season or anything like that. So it's been a difficult 48 hours for me.
And we talked about, didn't we? We talked to yourself about those decisions that you're going to have to make in the close season. You said you're going to have to sit down and, you know, if you fancy that manager's job rather than being the player manager, you're going to have to make them hard decisions.
Yep.
They've been taken away from you in a lot of ways, haven't they? Which can't help you, can't be good for you, because you wanted to be able to sit down at the end of the season. You wanted to basically say, look, this is what I want. This is the plan of action I've got going forward, and sit down with the CEO and decide the future and your future. That's been taken away.
Yep.
So I can understand that the players are deflated. I mean, and again, it's interesting what you say, because we're not privy to the atmosphere of a dressing room.
No.
I've been a party to obviously the under-18s and known those big characters in the dressing rooms, and they are integral, aren't they? It's something
absolutely,
that you don't
yeah.
see no. That only players and management see, so to lose them, it's going to be a bit of a blow for you.
Yeah, it's a massive part of any football club, the dressing room. That's where we have our fun there, and then the hard work starts when we come out on the pitch. So to lose them two lads has been a massive blow, and then obviously like the likes of Hughes is suspended and stuff, so we've,
because Hughes has been excellent in recent months.
He's a massive talker on and off the pitch, on the training pitch as well, and on our WhatsApp group as well. He's one of them that will gee the lads up all the time. So it's been a difficult week for us, a difficult day for us, but the young lads now need to stand up and be counted. They need to mature quickly, and then we need to make new big characters.
We do indeed, and as I say, there were some good performances this afternoon. One character that we discussed on Tuesday, who had a good game on Tuesday, and he was given man of the match. And I think today, his performance from Sam Baird again, showing that quality, showing what he's capable of doing as just a pure defender, but also being able to move out with the ball. Didn't do it as much today. Didn't have the chances to do so.
No.
But he was absolutely superb. And him and Fag Bowler, that balance that they bring at the back, together with Senior, who again had a good game. I know he just passed a late fitness test, didn't he? And hence that's why you brought him off at half time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, we wanted to protect him for Tuesday night. He deserves to be in that cup final. He's been superb all season, and as an 18-year-old lad to play 40 plus games is a big ask. speaking about Sam Baird there, he's just fearless, and that's what you want in the centre half. He'll go ahead and kick absolutely everything, but then he's got the qualities to get, like you say, get the ball down and play and come out with it as well. So he's a good centre half to have at the club going forward. So that's always a positive. Good to see Steve Affleck again as well, and all the other young lads. Yeah, it's what it is today. It's an experience for us all.
Of course it is, and I mean the game could have been all very different if perhaps the referee had. In my view, give a red card to Keane in the first half for that challenge on Sam. I thought it was a horrendous challenge.
Yeah, it was.
But it wasn't to be, and the result really, I mean, we didn't really, in front of goal, you know, do enough this afternoon, which is, you know, it's been something that, it's not just today that, it's been for a lot large parts of the season.
Yeah, when you lose your 30-goal-a-season striker midway through, it's always going to be tough to replace that, and we probably haven't done it. A lot of lads have chipped in with a few goals, but a few goals is not enough.
Well, as you say, I mean, you know, we know from you, the effort, the work rate, the passion you have for the football club. You came in at a very difficult time, but you came in because you wanted a job, and you took the job on. You, Tom, and Tom. Sorry, you, Tom, and Jack.
Tom,
and Jack. And you know, survival. It was the name of the game.
Yep.
You're there now, and you know, you probably wanted a really nice, enjoyable Saturday afternoon playing football. Obviously, the things that I've got on behind closed doors haven't done that. But McCarthy himself had a bug this afternoon, and also and Scotty Kay, because he came off on Tuesday
with
a hamstring. Yeah. I mean, are they likely to hopefully figure in a cup final? Hopefully they'll be ready to play.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I've just come off at half time as well. I had a little niggle in my hamstring, and they're not easy to shake off.
Are you saying you just basically penciled yourself in already for the final?
Well, I've got the choice there, haven't I? It's the first time. No, to be fair, We'll have a chat about the team selection and stuff like that. Obviously, I consider the lads that have played in the quarters and the semi-finals as well. But yeah, it'd be nice to have Scott and Connor available. Hopefully, he can shake his bug off, and hopefully Scott's case hamstring will be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, not to be today.
Nope.
You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of conversation going on about what's happening at the football club. You know, we'll discuss that. I think from you and your perspective. Probably 48 hours in a football manager's life, that is probably good. I think probably your hardest you've ever had to deal with, probably just as a player and as a manager, because these people are people that your peers you work with week in, week out. You know them as friends, and you know them as playing colleagues, but also you're the manager now, and taken out of your hands to a certain degree. But we can only hope that, you know, you can sit down in the close season and build upon something and a foundation that you've already brought these younger players in. You've given the opportunity, which, you know, under the previous manager hadn't happened as much as people were hoping. You've done that. Perhaps you've had to do that because the financial constraints have been there. But
yeah,
you've got now an opportunity to build your own team for next season. You know, Tuesday is a cup final.
Yep.
We could enjoy that, hopefully.
Yeah.
And you can maybe be able to sit down at the end of the season and maybe have at least a month of relaxation and then get into it.
I would absolutely love that. No, we've got eyes out everywhere looking at players. Obviously, even if we'd finished in the playoffs or won the league this year, we'd be looking to strengthen anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you always got to look to strengthen. Even going through the season, you still strengthen your side. So we've got eyes out there. We're watching players. We'll be active over the close season. So we probably won't get that much of a rest. But we'll go again, and we'll be ready for pre-season.
I mean, one question in relation to the vast majority of the younger players are all signed up for for another season, which is great. That basically takes a weight off your shoulder, and the fact that you know people aren't going to come knocking on the door straight away.
Yeah.
And if they do, and it's the right club for them, and it's the right thing for FC, we can let them move on. One issue, obviously, is senior. He's got to be a player, you know, he's up for all the accolades this season. He's got to be a player that you're going to be desperate to keep, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We know clubs will be sniffing an 18-year-old who's played 40 games in this league, so we'll be looking to sit down with him as soon as possible. He's said to me that he wants to be at this football club, so fingers crossed we can tie him down and and that'll be a big plus for us. Yeah,
I think it'd be a massive plus for us. Listen, as always, it's great talking to you. Cheers. Under good circumstances, in different circumstances, and today,
yeah,
very different circumstances for a manager.
Yeah, I feel like I've lived Arsene Wenger's career in 6 months. To be fair, so kind of experienced a lot over the last 6 months. So
all right, well,
it's all a learning curve for
it
me.
Could be worse. You could be a Leeds manager.
Yeah,
one of 19 they've had in the last yeah, six or seven
it, yeah.
years.
That's it.
As always, listen. Enjoy the right drive home, and we'll look forward to speaking to you in a cup final on Tuesday night at Hyde.
Cheers, guys.
All the best, boss. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Well done. Tom Greaves there, open and honest as always. It's very hard to go into the finer detail with him, isn't it, Ben? Because you know, you can see he's hurting, and we'll bring Paul in here now. And the fact that the last 48 hours for him has been something that, you know, not many managers are going to have a training session, are they? And then say, oh, by the way, you've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go. But we've heard what he said there is the players, a lot of them said, look, we'll take a dip in wages, you know, so he can be paid for the rest of the week. And the two lads that went said, no, it's not fair, and they've left. But, you know, it's
I think the problem is that with a football squad, obviously, you get a relationship going with your players as a manager. And I don't think there's a manager around that's ever been born that likes telling players that they're no longer wanted at the club.
Well, he's not had a chance to do
that,
has
that's, it? And that would have probably happened at the end of the season with some of the players anyway.
Yes, of course.
But this is premature. This has made it worse. But as a young manager in the making, which Tom is, he obviously he's not had a lot of experience in the job, this is something in his education as a manager that he's having to take on board very quickly, that you can't get too attached to players, because when you're a teammate, you see, as player manager, you've got two hats on.
Of course, you have. Yeah,
he's got his mates in the team.
I mean, no, what
but he's also
makes,
a manager, and he has to stand back as a manager and treat them all in a certain way, and that's a very hard thing to learn from, I think. And this has been a big, the last day or two has been very, very difficult for him.
There's a question, though, I would ask. I mean, I've always been an advocate of, if you own a football club, and you're an, as we do, we're a fan-owned football club, that every single player should know exactly what the club's about, should know the reasons why they're joining them and why we started and why we formed, and every player has the opportunity to find out, and also find out as members, you know,
well, what
if they want to be, or but also you should come into a football club and they say, you know, players just get on with the game, they're not about the finances, this and the other. Well, this is an opportunity to say, well, the players should have known about finances,
well,
should have known how
yeah.
they were going, because basically we've had to let players go because of a budget. If players knew and got involved in the club more rather than just turn up for football, then they understand the club a lot better.
The other side to this is as well, though, is the fact that, and this is where we might be at a disadvantage of going down this kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, open and transparent route, is there's a reason why you don't necessarily tell players what the budget constraints are, because...
Well, I was about to come to that. Is it a thing where you keep the morale as high as you can and keep the players in the dark about the finances?
That's obvious, isn't it?
No, you don't.
That's obvious.
You do the opposite. No, you don't.
Why would you...
Because you don't do that. This is the point I'm making, you see. If you want to be different, you want to do things differently, your players should be... Okay, what's to stop? Okay, then. One player becomes a member, goes onto the members forum...
There's
reads
nothing to stop them doing
reads,
that.
...reads everything out and finds out what's going on.
There's
the
nothing to stop.
Or would it be better to sit down as a group and say, look, lads, this is the situation. You join a football club and we have got great support, we've got a great ground, but we've got a massive debt. We need to go out there week in, week out. That's why you're not being paid the high wages, but you're here because of A, B and C. We've got to perform here because we need to pay this debt back. It's down to you as individuals and me as the manager to make sure that we can take this club going forward. Are you with me or you're not with me? To know about the club. You need to know about the club.
Isn't there a flip side to this as well? That's from the player's point of view, and you know, we could have that argument back and forth, but the crux of this whole issue is not necessarily, you know, disappointed players, because you are going to be disappointed, aren't you, the way it's, you know, in the week that we've got coming up, that you're not going to be able to take part in that necessarily. You are going to be disappointed. But the other flip side to this is there's a lot of supporters and members who...
You've got to get involved. It's as simple as that. If you want democracy and if you believe in being a part of something, you've got to make sure that you have some of the facts, all of the facts. You can't start spouting out knowing nothing but basically demanding everything when you don't know the situation of the club financially, what the players are up to, comparing budgets with other clubs and all the rest of it. You need to know about your football club. I mean, as United fans, we didn't know the financials about Manchester United, But we went to AGMs and we went to the PLCs and we knew everything about the chairman.
Yeah.
We knew everything, the trials and tribulations of the football club. We knew about every trophy. As supporters, we knew that. We have an opportunity at FC United where you can actually join for £12, become a member, be an integral part of it. But those people that do the loudest shouting aren't members. I've got no idea what's going on.
I think there's an element of the support that are only interested in the football, and their attitude is why aren't we putting more money towards the playing budget and fighting a promotion battle? And that's the only thing that they look at. They're not interested in any of the other elements of the club.
You're right, Paul.
And because of that, when you turn around and say we can't put more money into the club towards the playing budget, they don't understand. Because to them, it's all about a football team on the pitch. And they say they don't want to get involved in the rest of it. So they blinker themselves.
Isn't this where it's a bit of a wake-up call to those supporters who say, we're not here for the politics, we're here for the football?
Because they still won't take on board what you're trying to tell them. Because to them, it's all about what's on the pitch.
This football club is fan-owned. And fan ownership has many, many pitfalls. It has many joys as well, which we are a party to and luckily to be involved in. But the thing is, burying your head in the sand, expecting, as you say, some people just come for the football. Now, I know a lot of the people that come to the older generation in the 60s and 70s, and they love going to FC. Win, lose or draw, they're there every week and they enjoy it. I can understand. It's the apathy amongst a demographic, really, for me, that have to be more engaged with the football club. Can't just go on social media slagging this off, slagging that off, without knowing the full facts. They'll have half facts and they won't understand. But the point I'm making equally is that players need to know. Listen, I know of São Paulo players when, and that's the Bundesliga, the top, they know their club inside out. When they're not playing, they go and stand in the crowd with their own supporters. Now, we've had players do that in the past. Those players, like Dave Chadwick, like Platy, like Nortz, like Birchie, they understood the club. They knew the club and they knew the problems that we were having at the club financially and non-financially. But they were part of the club. They would go and stand. We don't have that this moment in time because the players, for me, really need an understanding and education. Anyone comes in needs an education about FC at the highest of level. And I'm talking, you drill it into them. So when they play for you, they are playing not only for the shirt, but they're playing for the club, for the pride, for the fact that we can have another season and again and another season again, and in 100 years' time, those players will go down in history of being part of FC United of Manchester, but they understood the club as well.
I think
you've got to understand your club. If you don't, you might as well go play for anybody else.
Make them sit and watch a DVD. Introducing themselves to what they're signing up for.
I've got the first season game against Nelson on DVD, which I found the other day, and I was like, what's that? Oh, it's a whole match of FC United against Nelson.
I would encapsulate the FC history into, say, 20 minutes and say, sit down and watch this. This is what we're about. This is what you're signing up to.
It's understandable in many ways.
Players are very selfish.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
But it's not. It's an understandable selfishness. They wouldn't be footballers at the end of the day. They wouldn't
be
playing
themselves.
This is the point I'm making. We need to change that model. We need to change that. We need to bring players in that would die for the shirt week in, week out. And when they go home, every week, it kills them if we've got beat.
But with the manager, you have to manage your squad. And his first port of call isn't to the players have the understanding of the ethos of the club. His first priority is to make sure the club stays up.
No,
well,
it's part of it. It's part of it. But it's a bigger thing. I'd only bring a certain calibre of player in. And I don't care if we go.
How on earth would
you know? Because you know, Ben, because basically, if you've got a scouting network, you know individual players.
You're talking about getting 11 captains.
No, you just get people in that understand the fundamentals of the club, want to be a part of a football, want to be part of something different. If you want to be part of something different, this is a club to come to. If you want to just be an everyday, take the money and play football, and if you get booted out or whatever, it's another club. I want to have players at our football club like you get at certain clubs around the world that play for passion and pride, and they understand it. They'll have a drink with the players, with the supporters at the end of the game. They get and understand it. You get that in the lower leagues of the Bundesliga, you get that in South African, South American football.
Aren't we going back to the original point, though, about where the members come into this as well? Because, you know...
Well, we've discussed the members, haven't we?
No, but it's a two-way street, this.
Of course it is.
If you've got... I mean, let's be honest, that we did have a culture on the terraces which encouraged that kind of thing. you know. But we have we got that? Do you think?
Well, no, because we went down routes of corporate nonsense, and we were turning things into hubs, and we were doing this, and we were doing that. We had Tories knocking on the door saying, "Come in, have a look at our football ground." We've got to go a bit more punk, but we can be punk and professional at the same time.
Because you know, we're not St. Pauli at the minute.
No, no. Well, you
that's
know,
that's the thing I'm talking. I mean, you're after
well,
that
listen,
way.
Listen. And, a culture. We have.
If you want a cult, if you want to introduce a culture to a football player,
we had the chance.
You don't give them a DVD and a slideshow. You go. This is a football match at FC United, and yeah. It's not. Gig Lane 2005, is
no,
it?
No, I know it's not. But the point I'm making is we had an opportunity to make it. A culture in the club. We had it for a degree. We lost it really with the move initially, and we might get it back at some stage.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It's down to the supporters as well.
The supporters and
not
the players.
Not just the players.
They're as one. If this club died tomorrow, we would be gutted. How many players would? Because they've all got another. They go to other clubs. So what you're going to do is you're going to make sure that the players that you bring in, and I'm not saying these players aren't like that, because a lot of them, I'm sure, understand the club, have grown through the club now, and they're getting used to the club. But there has to be a culture from players through to management, through to members, through to supporters, all with the same vision. And that vision is to make the club successful. And for me, players should know, if we're in financial difficulties, they should know about it, say, look, there's going to be a cut in wages if we're not careful
I think we're agreed, but the problem is that I think you have to do it in a certain order. And what needs to happen now, urgently, is the members need to get, all of them, a better understanding of how the club works at the moment, the problems are, and reinvigorate the club.
Because
at the minute,
you can't
go to Broaders Park and say, I'm just here for the football, and then be disappointed when your star player leaves.
We talked about that earlier on this afternoon, before kick-off.
Oh, I'll talk about it now.
And we're talking about it again now. Well, we might have to go, Ben, because
yes, we need to go.
If a coach goes, we're snooking.
Yes, let's... you keep talking, I'm finished. Bye.
We'll be fine. Yeah, okay. What are you doing?
No, I've just turned me off.
So. All right, okay. Ben's busy hurrying to clear everything away because the players are about to leave and we're going to have to leave as well. This conversation will go on and on and on. I want to make sure this football club survives and moves forward. I think we've done some great things. We've made some major mistakes in this season alone as well. But we have got the makings of moving forward with the right personnel, the right people involved, the right culture. We get the culture right, it blossoms, Paul, doesn't it? If we don't get the right culture,
so what you're
saying, we haven't got that culture at the moment. It's too fractious.
What you're saying is you want the players to understand that we're all in it together.
Yeah.
Not just isolate them on the team bus and say, turn up for match days. That's what you're saying, basically.
Exactly. I don't want that. I want every one of them players to know what it means. To win, lose or draw and join your week. Yeah. You know, and you see that in the great United teams. I mean, because they lived in Manchester, the likes of Scholes and Beckham, when United got beat on a Saturday, they'd walk around town. And if it was against City, they'd feel it, wouldn't they?
I mean, at Gig Lane, we used to have the players coming in for a drink after the game, didn't we? That was a key part of the whole ethos.
Don't leave without us.
Come on, let's go.
So on that bombshell, because the whole team have gone now, and Ben's packing up is not as quick as it used to be. We'll see you on Tuesday. FC Live, hope we've given you an idea. Keep everything going. Keep the momentum going. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye. We love you all.
FC United return to action this week with two matches. Firstly, on Tuesday night, it's to Hyde United's Ewan Fields we go, as FC United take on Trafford in the final of the Frank Hanna Manchester Premier Cup. This match at Ewan Fields is pay on the gate. Adults £8, concessions £4, under 16s £2. Kick-off on Tuesday night will be at 7:45 p.m. And then on Saturday afternoon, FC United will host North Ferriby United in the club's last game of the season. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park will be at 3 p.m. This match will also see the club host another Youth United Day. Events at Broadhurst Park will start from 12 p.m. on Saturday, where there'll be loads of kid-friendly activities. Under-18s for the match itself will also be able to attend the game for free. But remember, as always, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday night from Hyde from 7:30 p.m. and from North Manchester on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.com.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake, and you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United's Treble Chasers hosted CMB Ladies in the main stadium at Broadhurst Park in the semi-finals of the Argyle Cup. Here is our WT Live team now with all the action.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. This is a women's team live special here. from the main stadium as FC United and Manchester's women's team take on CMB Ladies in the semi-finals of the Argyle Cup. Another piece of silverware potentially for Luke Podmore's side, but this is going to be a tough game, Paul.
Yeah, CMB are in the division above us. It's been well documented that we've beaten a few sides at that level, and we're expecting a hard-fought semi-final.
Well, I'll give you the team news now. The match has already got underway. We're a bit late going on air live. It's Chloe Ainsworth in goal. Left-back, Abby Carrington. Fran Davis as centre-back. Right-back is Chelsea Patient. In midfield, we've got Fran Sullivan, Rebecca Foster, Olivia Greenall and Cara Fields. On the left wing, Kirsty Chambers is captain, and right wing, Jess McCarrick. So FC United already have a bit of silverware under their belts already this season. County Cup a couple of Fridays ago, and FC United doing well in the league as well. So this is the other piece of that banned word, which isn't allowed to be said apparently in the dressing room.
The T word,
the treble, Paul. Ball cleared, picked up by Sullivan. Sullivan does well and turns, but then he's tackled and dispossessed by Hindle. Hindle now, with a ball played over the top for Williams to chase. There's Ainsworth, does well and rolls the ball out there to Chelsea Patient. He's got a bit of space in front of her to move into. And, well, still going, plays the ball to Sullivan and keeps a run going too. Sullivan now having to track back into FC United's half with the ball. Turns and releases Jess McCarrick, who's onside. McCarrick's into the penalty area, battles in the penalty area. Ball played to Battle, it's a tap-in. FC United on 44 minutes here finally break the deadlock. It's 1-0 to FC, Paul.
Well, the pass, the through ball again from Frank Sullivan was the killer blow. McCarrick took it as far as she could and delayed the ball into the box until Jess Battle was completely free, and she made it on the plate for her.
While the score remains 1-0, it's still all to play for, certainly. Cleared by Ainsworth. Cara Fields lets it bounce. Jess Battle picks up the pieces, now plays the ball to Forshaw over on this right-hand side. No one gambling to get into the penalty area. Here's Battle, though. She finally gets there. She shoots!
Yes.
Slots it into the corner. And here's me saying there's no one running into the penalty area. It was the last of the late runners from Jess Battle there. Getting the ball. All the time in the world, because no one saw her. Slots it to the corner. FC 2-0 up, Paul.
Well, she ghosted in and she couldn't believe the time and space she had. It was like the freedom of the box, and just stroked it into the corner, and there was nobody around to stop her. Quite incredible.
56 minutes gone here, and slightly more comfortable now for Luke Podmore's side. FC United 2, CMB Ladies 0.
Well.
There you go.
They've got a bit more of a comfort zone now, and I don't know what CMB's plan is, really. I think maybe at 0-0 they're hoping to nick a goal and hang on, but at 2-0 they've got to do some serious attacking now.
And just a reminder, at the moment, elsewhere, Liverpool Marshall Feds are still 1-0 up against the team second in the league, West Didsbury and Charlton. More on that as we get it. Forshaw does well, wins that ball, and out to this left hand side the ball goes. Here's Yorin now on the ball. Yorin scuffs a pass cut out by Forshaw. Cara Fields plays that on the halfway line to McCarrick. Chambers in acres of space over on the left. That's a nice ball from McCarrick to find Chambers. Chambers down the left hand side of the penalty area, comes in field. Oh, it's Jess Battle. Oh, he's pounded away. It's in the net, and that is Jess Battle's hat trick. And well, Kirsty Chambers there, Jess McCarrick created that goal. Jess Battle nearly ruined it. I think it was a scuff shot, to be fair. Donoghue probably was surprised she had the option to try and save it. Palmed it into her own net, and FC United are now 3-0 up on 58 minutes, Paul.
42 goals for the season for Jess Battle now.
Greenall to Chambers to McCarrick. McCarrick turns, plays the ball to Fields. Fields tries the first time pass, it's cut out. She wins the ball back, gets it to McCarrick. Nice turn there from McCarrick to Fields. Fields chips it into Chambers. All in one movement. Chests it, volleys it. Top corner. FC United 4-0 up and into their second cup final of the season.
And that's our 150th goal of the season.
And that is, to say that was a spectacular piece of skill from Jess McCarrick. It's not often you see a Maradona turn. And a ball in there and to find Chambers, all in one movement, chest it, volleys it, top corner, boom, goal.
Yeah, a real bit of quality, and the gulf is beginning to appear suddenly.
Gillies tackled though by Foster, good tackle from Foster.
Carrington plays the ball forward to Chambers. It's a lovely first touch from Chambers. Releases herself, plays the ball into Battle, slots it into the corner, and it is really, really that simple. 5-0 here at Broadhurst Park, and it's turning into a bit of a rout, Paul. 64 minutes.
Yeah, again, we won the ball on halfway. The quick release down the left-hand side. The ball played through to Chambers. Chambers, the first touch, beat the defender. And again, she looked up and saw Jess Battle ghosting into space. They've just not... They found it very, very hard to mark Jess Battle this afternoon.
Jess McCarrick back on the ball. Plays the ball along the 18-yard box. Forshaw plays the ball, still with the ball. Forward it goes to Jess Battle. To Greenall. Greenall, first time pass to McCarrick. McCarrick's got runners. Here's Forshaw, the edge of the box. Forshaw tries to come back inside. Plays the ball back out left on the edge of the penalty area to Abby Carrington. In it comes. Beats Battle. Battle gets the ball back. Slots into the corner. 6-0 to FC United. 5 goals for Jess Battle.
I think there seemed to be a conspiracy there to make Jess Battle the scorer, because nobody else wanted to shoot, it seemed. But eventually the ball came out to Carrington wide left, and her cross was forced home.
So on 80 minutes, FC United are 6-0 up now. 5 goals for Jess Battle, and it's another cup final, I think, confirmed now. I think we can say that.
I think you can start booking your tickets.
Yes. To
and your travel.
One way ticket to TBC. Full time here at Broadhurst Park. A convincing second half display from FC United. Sees the final score here. 6-0 for the home team against CMB Ladies. FC United, 5 of those goals coming in the second half. 5 of the goals coming from Jess Battle overall. It's been a very, very dominant display. CMB came into this game one division higher than FC United, and FC United are going back to the final of the Argyle Cup for the second year running, Paul.
Yes, it's been an outstanding second half performance. I think the first half we struggled a little bit to impose ourselves in terms of authority of goals, but the second half the women came into their own, and they've been thoroughly dominant. And the visitors are getting a good hand there, because they put up a good fight.
Well, speaking of fight, Rebecca Foster is currently strapped up with an ankle injury by the looks of it. So we'll wait and see if she's going to be fit enough to see out the end of the season. At the moment, she's in a bit of a bad way, but she's out on the pitch with a teammate. It's been a great performance from FC United, especially in midfield. That's where the game's been won this afternoon, Paul.
Yeah, we were too strong in too many departments for CMB. We've obviously got one trophy in the cupboard already. We're in another final, and on Wednesday we believe we have the opportunity to wrap up the league title. So the T word will have to be unravelled shortly, I'm afraid.
Well, for podcast listeners, Neil Boo caught up with women's team manager Luke Podmore and a player at the final whistle. Not sure who the player is, but let's hear that interview now.
Here with head coach Luke Podmore and ace defender Fran Davis on a 100 start and a clean sheet. We're through into the final. Does it get much better than this?
No, what really more can you ask for? Perfect.
Well, we could have asked for West Didsbury losing as well.
Oh, well, we did, and we got it.
Yeah. So it is one of those days that a certain beer company like to create, but we've all watched it, and it was a brilliant day. Excellent performance from everybody. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was some class play between the girls. We worked it really well. Second half, as you can see from the result, was probably a stronger one than the first. But yeah, I thought we worked well as a team. We did well to keep a clean sheet. And so yeah, it was good all round.
So we saw a small change in the second half, but did you say anything to change the tactics for the second half there, Luke, or was it just letting play out?
I think it's good to our time, so we have a regroup, and the players can share our thoughts on the game. Obviously they see the game differently from on the pitch, and we see it differently off the pitch, so it's just nice naturally to come together and just share your ideas and thoughts. And then obviously second half we have like a new focus, and we come out and we tend to have a good response, and obviously as you see we scored 5 more goals, so it was obviously something worked.
Jess was on fire today. I don't think I've seen anybody score 5 goals from such a short distance. You probably only put about 15 yards between her and the goals for the whole five of the shots, but nice for Kirsty to get a goal as well. We're on her 100th start as a captain.
Yeah, like I say, we've got players now who've been here for a long time, and also players who've not been here for that long, but they're breaking records and they're making names for themselves, and that's what we're about. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the whole team as well. Like some of the goals that Jess scored, I know there was like 4 or 5 yards out, but we'd worked it up from, you know, from our own half, and it's just a testament to the team really that we all celebrated it together.
Oh yeah, certainly Jesse's yardage to put it in belied the amount of effort and the terrific crossing. I mean, some of them from Jess McCarrick and one from Kirsty as well, that I remember during the game, that they put all the effort in beforehand to just lay it open for Jess on the plate to just make it nice and easy. But we're now through to the final. That's exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, another it's a bank holiday Monday in Bootle. Yeah, it'll be a really tough game. Stockport at the top end of the division above. So, you know, we're going to just prepare as much as we can, hopefully try and get the league sewn up. And who knows what will happen on that day. It'll be a great day if we can do it.
Yep, so that's a few weeks off. But Wednesday, we've got Curzon Ashton. Do you think we can tie the league up on Wednesday then?
Well,
go on, Jeff.
I think so. Like, obviously, it's a good game for us in defence. We do enjoy it because they've got some good attackers with Keely. So it's a good one for our defence. But I think player for player, we are a lot stronger. So I definitely think it's one that we can tie up, get the league done, won at their pitch. It'd be a great game.
Well, it's a 3G pitch, isn't it?
Yeah,
so that suits us as well. So we can play nice free-flowing football, and we can hopefully make it the second part of the treble that we're looking for. Hopefully, one down, two to go. It's doable.
That's it. Yeah, it's doable. We've got to turn up and obviously do what we do. You know, prepare the same. You know, turn up the same mentality. Not taking anything for granted that we've won it yet already. You know, and we're only one win away. Just got to make sure we do the business now. And can we try and remain unbeaten for the whole season as well?
Exactly. So that's 6:30. Curzon Ashton, just round the corner from Broaders Park. Be there or you're going to miss some superb celebrations, everybody, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, thank you very much.
Well, this is going to be weird for the podcast listeners because I've just introduced your post-match interview. So, by the power of time travel, Marty McFly joins us now. What did Luke say? No, what did you think of that game? What did you think of that game, Neil?
I thought we were pretty controlled pretty much all the way through. We had about a 5-10 minute spell. About quarter an hour, 20 minutes into the game, but we controlled it. We went in at half time. They've obviously done what they've done on a few times now. They've come out in the second half measured and composed and put it to bed.
And this is another final for FC United, the Manchester women's team, and we've been covering it through the game. Liverpool Marshall Feds against West Didsbury and Charlton. I mean, they've complained it's finished on 87 minutes, but regardless, they've said well done to Marshall Feds. 1-0 winners against West Didsbury and Charlton. And what that means is Wednesday night's game now against Curzon Ashton at St Matthew's Roman Catholic School, just over there.
Yep, now looking
could,
distance.
Now me. Could see FC United win the league and gain promotion, which is a nice feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, to have had that news, I'm sure the players know it already. On the back of a 6-0 semi-final with 17 goals in the stadium now without reply in this competition this year, it's a tremendous feat for them.
It really is. Anything else to add, Paul?
No, I think I can only echo what's already been said. It's a marvellous day for FC's women.
Yep.
On two fronts, an unexpected bonus in the league.
Yes.
We couldn't ask for more than 6-0 in the semi-final in the stadium again. Yeah. With a good crowd, a good atmosphere,
yeah.
And a good day all round for us.
Yeah, a couple of centurions with Kirsty on obviously 100 caps and Fran on 100 starts. It's a great day. I'm sure it's exactly what Fran needs on when you've got a 100 start and you keep a clean sheet as well.
Absolutely. And the other thing we should say as well, obviously, you know, the club's in negotiations at the moment to sort out the lease on this ground and allow us the freedom to be able to put on more events like this. FC United come out on the pitch, I think with Rebecca Foster's team that she manages, a junior team. AFC Manchester play over there as part of the Moston junior setup. It's about developing the community game, developing women's football, inspiring girls as well. You know, events like this, it means more. It's a bigger showcase if it's done in the main stadium rather than, with all due respect, on a 3G Ashton.
Yeah,
pitch.
It's a decent surface, but it's not exactly what it doesn't have anything else with it. There's no dugouts, there's no mini stand or anything like that. I think that the club could do with developing, but this is the fitting circumstances for semi-final.
And it's like I said to Rob at half-time, if you can demonstrate that, you know, you are inspiring young girls to play football by having matches in the main stadium, I'm sure that gives you a bit more leverage with council officials and that kind of thing.
Yes.
If they do listen.
Oh, I'm sure they,
sure Neil, they do, yeah. A big thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work. Highlights will be available of this game, as well as all women's team games, YouTube, Neil Boo 1, the channel to go to. Thank you, Neil, for joining us. You keep up the good work, my friend. So I think we should go, Paul, if that's all right with you.
Yes, I think we've wrapped up.
So FC United 6-0 winners here at Broadhurst Park. FC United through to their second final of the season. Another chance to get some silverware. Wednesday's match in the league now looks like it could be the league in the bag as well at this point, not counting our chickens just yet. But it's onwards and upwards for Luke Podmore's women's team. Thank you to Stato Paul. Thank you to Rob. Thank you to Neil Boo. And you have a lovely weekend, dear listener. We'll see you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
And FC United's women's team return to league matters this Wednesday evening with a short trip to St Matthew's School to take on Curzon Ashton, knowing that a win would seal the league title and promotion for Luke Podmore's side. Kick-off on Wednesday will be at 6:30pm. And on that positive note, that is the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9am and 12:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05pm on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.